under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board as we face the issues. We'll be talking about who is a godly father in honor of Father's Day. Who is a godly father? Have you ever pondered that? What makes a godly father? What are the characteristics? What is the markings, identifiers of a godly father? We'll be talking about that today. This broadcast, we'll be inviting you to call in and share a word of testimony of what Dad has meant in your life, what your dad has done as you have watched his walk and talk and serving in your home and serving the Lord. How has he influenced your life? We're going to be talking about that today and inviting you to call in and share with the listeners today. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. That telephone call goes directly through the studios right to our microphones to entertain your question, comment, dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. And as we face the issues, may I remind you again that we do so based on the authority of Scripture. I have listened to broadcasters multitudes of years, hundreds of times, and multitudes of them that are talking about issues and dealing with it. They deal with it from a simple humanistic standpoint. They deal with it from a denominational dogma perspective or from a philosophical political rhetoric and not from the Word of God. I believe that as we face issues, and we do each and every day, all of us do, we face issues, we need to go back to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God and see what God's Word says. I've used the term many, many years now. We need to look at the events locally, nationally, internationally, and globally through the prism of the Word of God. What does God's Word say? You see, from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation chapter 22, God's Word is the progressive revelation of God to man. And speaking to man, God gives instruction to directions in our lives. He does so, whether it's in the realm of civil government, whether it's in the realm of social, economic events and affairs, in the realm of the home, theologically, doctrinally, and biblically, spiritually. God's Word has the answer. I call it the truth book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32, said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." And further in John 17:17, the scripture says, with a dogmatic declaratory statement, "Thy word is truth." It's the truth of the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, that should impact our lives, should modify, change our lives, change the trajectory of where we're going, what we're doing, should be based upon the authority of the Scripture. In Psalms 117 and verse 2, the Scripture says the truth of the Lord endures forever. The truth of the Lord is not something that's here today and gone tomorrow. It endures forever. And I like it endures forever. That means it surpasses, transcends, goes beyond all that's said today that's called truth. It's the truth of the Lord that endures forever, not the truth of what CNN says and the socialist Marxist media. It's the truth of what God's Word says that endures forever. However, multitudes today dislike, disapprove, and diss the truth. George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We find that to be absolutely factual today. Hating those who speak the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth we need to seek. But yet, I find it astounding, staggering, that 55% of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group today, think that each person determines their own version of truth. That's an impossibility. That causes a major, major cacophony in our society. Maybe that's the problem that we're having today, is because we have so many that disbelieve in the single source and the absolute truth of the Word of God. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, John Huss. John Huss says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And that's my commendation to you each and every day. And I believe the longer we see the society in which we're living in, I believe the more we're going to see the potentiality, if not the reality, before the rapture of the church, that there is a major, major, major problem with Christians and telling the truth that is would be, I think, endangering the life of believers in the near future. The persecution is already here. We're watching that. The prosecution of Christians is already present. We're seeing that. But I believe there will be the open hostility to Christians in the near future that we see being promulgated in society today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment and the full line of Honda generators. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. Tools for Time's knowledgeable staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right in the heart of Mandarin. It's found at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark identifier, 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Find that flag, the flagpole, at the base of the flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good news, ladies and gentlemen. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment. They're closed on Sunday so that you can worship with the full family of God and the house of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time. Make an application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does placing in the family of Tools for Time. Tools for Time is located at 11291 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here today with Dr. Glenn Davis.
Amen.
Dr. Davis, thank you for being here today.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood. And I just want to say happy Father's Day to you.
Thank you.
Also, one of the most excellent fathers, amen, I think I know,
amen.
In the world today. And I'm not just saying
I'm
that
thankful.
In your face. I say the same thing behind your back.
Amen.
Everywhere I go.
Amen.
Amen. You and Dr. Phelps, amen. I brag about you two.
That's good. I'm
amen.
Thankful.
Because I thank God for what you have poured into my life to
amen.
Enable me to be a better minister of the gospel.
Amen.
On today.
Well, we're thankful for you, and we're thankful for what God has done. We watched the long journey.
Amen.
And the culmination of that journey.
Amen.
And there's still many, many years and miles to go
amen.
In our lives as we serve the Lord. And I want to say to all of our listeners today, happy Father's Day. Looking forward to what God is going to do in your life as a father. I pray that you're interested in, looking forward to, the dialogue and the discussion today about fathers and Father's Day. What is it for? What do we celebrate Father's Day for? What is the goal? What is the ramifications of being a father, and especially not just a good father, but a godly father? I believe we have Kevin on the line. Kevin, go over the question and comment, please.
Oh, yes. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there that truly love Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah.
Amen.
And yes, absolutely. A good father, it says, I believe in the book of Proverbs, will leave an inheritance to their children's children.
Yes.
And the number one thing, with all the evil that's going on in the world, I really do encourage every father, and every Christian father should be doing this anyway, is have morning dedications in prayer and reading the word and worship to the Father and Yeshua, to pray every day for their children in the morning and in the midday and in the evening, at all possible. I pray for my son in the morning and in the evening every day. I lift them up to the Father and to Yeshua. And I think this is critical for us to protect our children and put a hedge of protection with all the evil that's going on in this society, and to help them in all ways possible for them to be successful and to be the example that Yeshua was for us, to be that God-fearing parent and keep the commandments of God and read the Bible and tell and instruct them to read the Word of God and prove to them that the Word of God is real. There's so much proof today. It's not even funny because we're in the last days. There's all kinds of proof that the Bible is real today. We need to show our children these things. And
amen.
Kevin,
I'll second the motion. You're spot on with the overview and with your suggestions and admonitions to our listeners, and I pray they're listening today. Kevin, thank you so much for your call. May you have a blessed Father's Day. God bless you as you continue to serve the Lord. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Dr. Davis, you've heard Kevin's statements. What would you add to, and what are your thoughts in relation to that? Then I'm going to talk for a few moments to get back to the rudimentary, fundamental, elemental position of where we are in our nation today to move forward with why we need to have godly fathers. How do you respond to Kevin? Do you believe that's on spot? What would you recommend other than that?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, a good father is actually like a pearl of great price.
Mm-hmm.
Just like we have great mothers in the family, and thank God for all the mothers on today. I have many mothers, amen. My real mother is in heaven on today. I have spiritual mothers that are in heaven. Mm-hmm. I have spiritual mothers that are here on the earth.
That's right.
I have spiritual fathers that are still here on the earth. Mm-hmm. Amen. My real dad is also in heaven. But I thank God because a good, godly father, biblically speaking, Dr. Youngblood, is a pattern of good works.
That's right.
And that's what he tries to leave behind for his children and grandchildren. It does not necessarily always have to be money, but if you can leave a godly heritage and imprint on their lives because of the woke society that we live in on today, LGBTQ, all these,
abominable acronyms,
practices that they are, you know, putting forth, you know, to the generation of this day and time so that boys and girls are confused as to what their roles really are. Mm-hmm. And it shouldn't be that.
That's right.
Even when you look at trying to identify your gender,
mm-hmm.
all you have to do is look at your body.
That's right.
And you can tell what you are.
That's right.
So that's your God-given assignment given by God the Father from birth.
That's
or
right.
Can I say from conception?
That's right.
Because it's either, you know, the man that has to give the woman, I think it's a Y chromosome
right.
for the boy, for
right.
the male child, and then the X for the female.
That's right.
So mankind carries the seed for the family tree, and this ought to be taught in every generation so that when questions like this arise and teachings come forth that will only bring more confusion, Dr. Youngblood, if they can only consult the Word of God, for that is the source, the only form of truth that we have in the whole wide world, if we get back to the fundamentals and the basics of the Bible and look at the life of a godly man, his life ought to be tailor-made to the Word of God.
Yes.
So that should leave a lasting imprint on every male, especially in society for today.
And you saying that, I ponder the thought. I know that in our society today, we have major, major, major chaos and confusion in relationship to the younger generation and the wild, weird, worrisome things that takes place in our society. And I have concluded, and I believe there are major studies that verify, that it's as a result of fatherless homes. And that is homes where the father is not there to guide, to guard, to strengthen, to direct, to correct, to discipline those sons and daughters in the homes.
Amen.
What
Amen.
Would you say is the major, major element in a home where the father is not there? What's missing? What's needed? What will be the negative results without a godly father in the home guiding and directing?
Well, the main thing that's going to end up happening is your family will end up in shipwreck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if that godly father is not present, Or can I say in some cases, maybe, you know, the father has passed and gone away. And in predominant cases, especially today, some of them are locked up in prison.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And in the most popular cases on today, they won't work on a pie train.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Even if they're eating a free slice every hour. It's a shame to say, mm-hmm. Dr. Youngblood. It's very disappointing to me.
You're
because
right.
I never thought that I would see it this way in life ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still less than 100 years
That's
old.
Right. I like that.
Amen. But it's disappointing for me to see male figures that just simply refuse to stand up and take their God-given role
mm-hmm.
as being breadwinners and providers and protectors of their household. Now, when we look at the women who have to, can I say a lot of times they are forced into that position.
That's
it's,
right.
It's not the will of God for them to do such, but then
they have to do it. Right.
Because we just have plumb just lazy men. I just mm-hmm. don't understand where they get their philosophy from on mm-hmm. today. My dad told me when I was growing up, son, always try to be a man.
That's right.
And he told me that Dr. Youngblood, his dad died, his father died when he was very young, and he had to quit school in the fourth grade to take care of his mother.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I call a real man.
That's right. Amen.
That's the reason why I say when we look at godly mothers, thank God for them, there are a lot of godly men mm-hmm. on today. There are a lot of fathers who will stand in the gap and make sacrifices
right.
just like that because they want to see the good and the welfare of their family succeed. They don't want to see their family in shipwreck.
That's right.
And this is what I try to do. I tell my son, I got a grandson now, thank God, just them two. I have a son-in-law. As far as I'm concerned, all three of them are my son.
Amen.
So it's my job as the head of the family
to be that
to make
spiritual
sure,
example.
Amen. That I leave that lasting godly imprint on mm-hmm. their lives so that when God calls me home to heaven and they have to continue to live on in this world, they'll have something that they can go by, in other words.
A pattern.
They can think back. Mm-hmm. And this is what I do, mm-hmm. even right now on today. A lot of my spiritual fathers, pastors and all that I've been under ever since I've been in the ministry for 38 years.
Mm-hmm.
I can think back on some of the things that they taught me from the very first time when I got saved back in November 1985, all the way up until this day and time. When I'm facing controversy and I don't know what to do, a lot of times I lay back and I start praying and I start reading the Word of God, and God will immediately bring something back to me of what a spiritual father, and in a lot of cases, spiritual mothers as well, have told me and taught me and showed me by example in their lives.
Amen.
So right there, Dr. Youngblood, we should always have something that we can pull from or draw from when it comes down to a godly father being what he is designed to be.
Amen.
According to God's
Amen.
Plan.
And God holds the father responsible for that.
Amen.
In fact, in Proverbs, I believe it's, that is Psalms, not Proverbs, Psalms 127, verse 3, it says the children are heritage from the Lord.
Amen.
God provides those children in the home as a heritage, a legacy from the Lord. And we have the responsibility of training them, directing them, and disciplining them. What does it mean, though, when we look at it? I want us to boil it down. And for the benefit of our listeners today and our dialogue and discussion about who is a godly father, what does it mean to be a godly father? What does the Bible say about being a godly father? What are the characteristics of a godly father? And if I were to put it in 1 to 10, and I've done this down through the years many, many times in preaching Father's Day messages, but in different forms and fashions so often. But first of all, I believe if we're going to talk about who is a godly father, what makes a godly father, I think number one on the list must be he must know Jesus Christ as Savior.
Amen.
And his
Amen.
Lord. It's
Amen.
An impossibility, ladies and gentlemen, for a father to impact a son or a daughter with spiritual foundations and spiritual roots and spiritual impact unless he knows Jesus Christ himself as Savior and his Lord. He's got to know it for a fact. A godly father instills godly values and morals and ethics and biblical truths in the child. Pastor Davis, when we think about a godly father, picture the image of a father. And I've used this many times in different illustrative mentions. But picture the father that's out on the front lawn on a Saturday morning washing his car. And he goes over and picks up his Marlboro. And he takes a sip off that Marlboro stick, lays it back on the edge of the porch. And while he's washing his car, he looks back in that sun. He's picking up that cigarette, mimicking his dad. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, a godly father is one that realizes that he cannot impact the lives of the sons and daughters in the home unless he himself knows Jesus Christ as Savior. And then what he does, that son and that daughter will model their lives
Amen.
After what they see in dad, in his life, and living for Jesus Christ.
And you know, Dr. Youngblood, I'm very glad that you put that right here at this part of the program where we're at right now. Because it reminds me, you know, my mind went back as you were speaking on that. It reminds me of a time when I had to counsel a father once that was unsaved, didn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But he thinks he knows him. It's okay, that's fine. Okay, but, you know, I had to let him know what the difference in that was.
Right.
But here I had to counsel him because he was smoking wacky weed with his son. I said, brother, I call him off to the side. I said, let me ask you something. How do you expect to win the respect of your son if you're right there doing that stuff with him? When you give him orders that you want him to do something or that you want him to stop doing something, how do you expect for him to obey you when you're really not gaining no respect from him by doing the same thing that he's doing?
Right.
And, you know, he sat there for a minute and he thought about it and he said, brother, he said, you're right. I'm glad you said. I said, well, listen, it's a bad habit from the beginning. I'm not signing off on that. I'm not telling you it's okay for you to be doing what you're doing at all. Because drugs should have no part, in any, especially illegal drugs.
In any type, in anyone's life.
Especially if you are calling yourself a Christian or a follower of Christ. Now, I realize that the drug problem is alive in the church.
Unfortunately.
Many are saying that they are following Christ, but they are doing things that's unbecoming of Christians. But that's no excuse. Because as long as you have the word of God as your guide, there's no reason for you to be doing what you are doing. But getting back to the example that this young man was leaving for his son, I tried to get him away from that because here, as you said before, his son was going to begin to emulate what he saw his father
doing. Absolutely.
And now, guess what? Today, his son has a son. I'm hoping, I don't know it for a fact because I haven't been around to see it, but I'm hoping that that son is not teaching his baby son to do the thing that he saw his father doing. Because now you're passing the era down to the third generation, and look at what's happening. It's destroying the family tree.
The family tree, absolutely.
So that's something that shouldn't be going on.
Well, you see, Pastor Davis, and you're right on target with that. And ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your question, comment, dialogue, and discussion. Perhaps you'd like to share a brief testimonial of some of the memories you have of your dad, some of the things that were good or bad that dad impacted your life with, how it has changed or revolutionized or modified your life, and what you want to say that would be a warning and or an encouragement to others in relationship to the celebration of Father's Day. And thinking on the subject today, who is a godly father? Pastor, when I think about that, my mind goes direct to Joshua 24:15, where Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That was a personal decision. That was a parental decision. And I simply call it a powerful decision. He made the decision and said so publicly, as for me and my house, that indicated that there is the recognition of the responsibility before God for dad to lead the household. You see, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm trying to say is, for a godly father, you don't sit at home on Sunday morning and roll the TV dial watching the sports games and send the family to church. You don't send the family to church and say, Mom, take the kids and y'all go to church while you go out skiing, skating, boating or fishing. Dad, it's your responsibility. It's our responsibility as fathers, as dads, to take sons and daughters and family to church. God holds the husband, the father, the head of the home, as that being that responsible party to do so.
Amen.
I've seen too many times, Pastor, where wives, mothers, would fill the congregation on Sundays. And I call them the loose lax lost dads.
Amen.
Staying at home and yet expecting their sons and daughters to, quote, turn out right. I never will forget a number of years ago having a man talking to them about Jesus, talking to them about the need to be in church with his family. And he said, my wife's got enough religion for both of us.
Amen.
Somehow, some way, there's the mistaken idea from so many husbands, so many dads in the homes today that they don't need to go to church. That's the wife's responsibility. It's the dad's responsibility. God ordained that dads, fathers, are to be the head of the home, the head of the church, and the head of our government. It's the man that God charges with that responsibility. It is something that a man ought to recognize that he is the one that will be the model to his family, for his family to see his life for what he's doing in serving the Lord, and will walk in those footsteps, walk in those shoes, if you will. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. Love to hear from you. What would be your brief testimonial about Dad, about what Dad meant in your life? Pastor Davis, I'm thinking also, not only godly father must know Jesus, but a godly father teaches his children about the Lord. Turn, if you will, Pastor, to Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and drop down to about verse 6, and read for our listeners today, Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 and 7.
Amen. And it says here, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest.
Yes, it is dad's responsibility to make sure that there is the training of the sons and daughters in the home, not just by the sons or daughters emulating mom and dad, walking in their footsteps, walking in their shadow, and emulating and mimicking what they do, but it's dad's responsibility, the father's responsibility, to teach the sons and daughters Bible study, Bible reading, teaching them at home, teaching them at all times about the Word, what the Word of God says. In fact, I'm looking at one writer that says, dads may not realize it, but everything they do is influencing their children. Words alone are not enough. Consider what a child might learn from the father's instructions in the Word.
Amen.
And that is so necessary and so vital. And one writer says that it's the dad's responsibility. While he may delegate much of the day-to-day teaching to his wife, a godly father still bears the ultimate responsibility. He's the one that encourages Christian character in his children. He's the one that sets the example. He's the one that gives the instructions. He's the one that it should expect the behavior from the child to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about fathers. Father's Day. Who is a godly father? We're going to continue this thought right after the top of the hour news. We're going to have a one-minute news break. Right after the news break, we'll come right back. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. The destruction is widespread. There are fatalities after the Texas panhandle town of Perryton took a direct hit from a powerful tornado late yesterday afternoon. Three people were killed, dozens hurt. Powerful storms have raked a large part of the South this week. From Texas to Georgia and Florida, people across the region being urged not to let their guard down. More severe weather is possible today. The senior citizens were on an outing in the Canadian province of Manitoba when their bus collided with a semi-truck on a rural highway. Authorities say that 15 people were killed, 10 others injured. Senator Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee is among several Republican senators pushing for an independent investigation of the Biden family's financial dealings. Stocks higher on Wall Street. The Dow is up 120 points. NASDAQ ahead 19. This is SRN News.
First Conservative Baptist Church invites you to join them for their Independence Day celebration. The Mark V Quartet will be in concert with great singing.
Jesus Christ the Lord, open up.
Service starts at 10 a.m., barbecue lunch at 12:30. There's no ticket charge. A love offering will be taken July 2nd at First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here with Dr. Glenn Davis. Dr. Davis is pastoring in Folkston, Georgia, and I'm delighted that he has had the opportunity and we've had the privilege together to come to you many Fridays and share with you some truths from the Word of God. It's always a blessing to be able to do so. Pastor,
amen.
Thank you again.
Amen.
And today, as we talk to our listeners, speaking on the subject of Father's Day, who is a godly father? Let me remind once again our listeners that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. The telephone lines are open. We invite your telephone call. Share a brief word of testimony of what you feel is godly and good and a godly father, and what a father should be. Perhaps how that father has impacted your life with truths and the Word of God, with truths from the walk and talk in his life that's impacted your life and how it's changed your life. Pastor Davis, we talked about earlier about a godly father, and always think about the characteristics and the conduct of a godly father. And that characteristic, first of all, is the godly father must know the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, the godly father is a father that teaches his children about the Lord, impacts their lives with the gospel, shares the truth of the gospel with them, and teaches them, as the Deuteronomy text says, it's called the Shema in the scripture, teaches them what the Word of God is saying in relationship to obedience to the Lord, and is doing that on a continual basis. But the third thing ladies and gentlemen, that I believe we need to look at as a characteristic of a godly father, is a godly father disciplines his children.
Amen.
Too often, Pastor, a father has the philosophy and the feeling that that's the mother's responsibility. Now, that mother's responsibility is to nurture them, teach them, train them, just as with the father. But the discipline is ultimately the responsibility of the father.
Amen.
In the home. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. But ladies and gentlemen, let me give you the actual transliteration from the Hebrew text on Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way, the bent, the leaning, the direction that he should take. When he shall have become old, he will not have departed from it. So it takes that training for that child in the home, for him to understand that dad loves him, and therefore dad's going to do the correcting. Too often, the mother takes that responsibility. Too often, the discipline is looked at in the home as being the mother's responsibility. But it's the dad's responsibility based on the authority of Scripture. I believe we have a call on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, pastors. How are you doing?
Doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing good. I just wanted to call in because this message is very important to me. I love my father, but when it came to the church, you know, he was kind of wishy-washy. And like when we were around his family, whenever we lived where his family was, we always had to go to church. But then when we were in a different part of the country or whatever, we didn't. And it sent a powerful message to us and my brothers. You know, whenever it was kind of hypocritical because he was a disciplinarian, but there was no real backing because he didn't have the credibility of being consistent at church. Now, you know, having said that, I wouldn't have been brought to the church and have gotten saved if it wasn't for my father. But it has affected my life and my other family members. Many of them don't go to church, and I think it was directly because of the fact that my father was not consistent with going.
That's a testimony of truth, and so often we can look back in our lives and see that, and it takes a miracle of God working in our lives to be able to have that influence, sometimes in the negative sense, but God still can use our hearts and lives as we surrender to Him. That is a real blessing, and I'm thankful that you, even with that negative influence, came to faith in Jesus.
Amen.
Christ and serve Him.
Yeah.
Pastor Davis, you got any thoughts or comments?
Dr. Youngblood, I'm so glad that you said that, because here's what my pastor taught me. Never look down on a man unless you can help pick him up.
Mm-hmm.
Your dad, just like my dad, like I said earlier in the broadcast, my dad had to quit school in the fourth grade, and he was kind of on the illiterate side educationally. But when it came down to common sense things in life, you know, my dad got saved, you know, late on, became a deacon in the church. And he got a chance to learn some very valuable life lessons as to how to live his life and how to provide and how to teach his family. Now, even though your dad might have impacted you in a negative way, it still came out to be a positive, because it became a stepping stone in order to help you into coming into the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and to joining up with the body of Christ, the local church.
And it goes back to God can take all things and work them together for good to them that love the Lord.
Amen.
And I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
He was so doctrinally correct. And what that I loved about where he would take me and what churches we did attend, it was very doctrinally correct, to the point where even when I listened to your show about the rapture, about it's not inconsistent, you know, like there's so many. I have a hard time understanding how a person can be saved and not believe in everything that's doctrinal, you know, about
yes.
salvation, baptism,
yes.
the rapture. I mean, it's all there, black and white. I understand when you argue over some of the small details in the Word, but the doctrinal information has got to be sound, and I do thank him for taking me to the churches that preach that.
Amen. Well, Howard, thank you so much for that wonderful testimony. We're thankful for you and thankful for your listening, and I pray that you have a blessed day today and a wonderful, wonderful Father's Day. Thank you, and God bless you.
You know, Dr. Youngblood, I feel like, you know, just like this young man feels, I mean, through my life living, you know, I came in contact with a lot of my dad's friends. Likewise, you know, growing up as a child, me and myself, I had a chance to learn a lot of things through them as well, because they had a positive influence on my life. But because, again, of their educational level, they might have been illiterate in some things, but they were still able to make a positive impact on my life. So, again, you know, I think they all did the best that they could
with what they had
for the type of knowledge that they had and for the type
and
of
that's the key to
upbringing.
Taking
that
what
came
we have
up
and using it for the Lord and having that impact. I believe we have Glenn on the line. Glenn, go with your question or comment, please.
Well, good morning, and I'm grateful, number one, that we have a Heavenly Father that loves no matter what. He doesn't just love us more when we do well and love us less when we don't do well. He loves us all the time with all of His heart, and it's His plan and desire for us to succeed, and He has a hope and a plan and a future for us. I'm also thankful that I was raised by godly parents that took me to church 9 months before I was born. I wasn't an inconvenience. I had a mom and dad that were married and loved each other, and then in turn were able to love me and raise me in the fear and admonition of my Heavenly Father, so that I came to an understanding of our Heavenly Father's salvation and His plan and His forgiveness and His love for me, so that I was able to make that decision to accept Christ as my Savior and then follow Him in believer's baptism and then share the gospel with others in obedience to the Great Commission to go and tell. I'm thankful that my father provided direction and guidance. My dad didn't quit. I got to tell you, workaholic runs in the family. Sometimes you have to temper that a little bit, but this man, he didn't give up. He just kept going and going and going. Sometimes I know that the tenacity runs in the family, and I've had some ask me, Glenn, how come it seems like you just don't quit? I said, well, I had a dad that didn't quit. In fact, I find almost everything I've ever lost because I don't stop looking for it. Now, there's a few exceptions to that. You know, some things fall into a black hole and they're just not coming back, or something's destroyed. But I don't the ability to fix things, isn't that interesting? Our Heavenly Father looks at us and He is willing to help us fix not only ourselves, but others, reaching out to help. I'm not trying to make it too simplified, but I watched my dad bring home junk and fix it and sell it when times were tough. All right. I watched us, not that we never had a new car, but I'll tell you what, you can keep a car running for hundreds and hundreds of thousands of miles if you just do the regular service and have the tools and the ability and the mindset to fix things. Oh, wow. You can stretch a penny and turn it into copper wire.
Glenn, let me interrupt just a moment. For our listeners that may not know, this is Glenn Youngblood, one of our four sons, and I'm thankful that he has time to call in today and share his thoughts about Father's Day. And I'm hoping that it's not too bad, but Glenn, I am delighted that you could call in. Continue to share your thoughts about Father's Day and how you believe that it should be seen as a real need in our homes and our families, for a father to be a godly father, training the sons and daughters at home. Just share very briefly some of your heart and thoughts on that subject.
I'll tell you, I had the personal experience of raising three daughters. Now, I've got one that's in heaven, and I'll see her again when I get there. I've got one that's 31 years old, and she's a police officer because she's as hard-headed as I am, and I was a policeman for 25 years. I've got one that we adopted at 18 months old that's now 16, going on 21. God help us every day, day by day. But in police work, we became fathers to adult children that were raised without a father, okay, either by mom or grandma or grandparents or whatever the situation was. But we have adult children that were not raised by fathers. They might not even know who their father was. And our society and the breakdown in society is a direct result of that. And it spills over into the church. The issues that we're being talked about this past week, even in New Orleans at the convention, about them ordaining women as pastors, elders, and deacons. And you're like, why would they do that? Well, one of the excuses that I heard was that they just didn't have enough men. Well, I'm telling you what, it's a direct result of fathers not being fathers or fathers not being in the picture. Therefore, we don't have men to stand up with a backbone. Men.
Right.
Okay. In the church. All right. So my response was, well, maybe that should be the sermon. All right. Men need to be men and need to be fathers. They need to take responsibility for their homes. They need to take responsibility for their wife and for their children. And it's their job to make sure that they get the guidance. You read from Deuteronomy talking about basically covering the word and loving the Lord our God with all our heart and all our mind, with all our spirit. And we're supposed to be seeking him in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, and to teach the children. And to teach the children. If they don't get this, the society breaks down. The society breaks down. Now, there are no perfect fathers here on earth. We only have one perfect heavenly father. But it should be our main goal and objective as fathers here on earth is to make sure that the children and the family are in church, that they're getting the word, and that they're being encouraged to come aboard a moving train of God at work. We're joining God at work to reach others and get them into the lifeboat of salvation. The society, our society, is crumbling because men didn't stand up as men and fathers, and the results we're seeing across the board on every level. It makes you wonder, even at the office of President of the United States, I have to wonder, what kind of father figure did that man have? What kind of father figure was he to his son? All right, you can't blame everything the child does on the parents. But when the parent makes it, when the father makes excuses for bad behavior of the son, when there is not discipline and correction, it's going to be more and more corruption. And we're seeing it. And they're following in the footsteps in this particular situation of what they were taught or not taught. We're seeing it across the board.
Glenn, I recall a number of times while you were active in law enforcement, you made a statement. I'm going to paraphrase it and you can correct it. You said, Dad, if the parents do not do the discipline at home, eventually it winds up in our hands, i.e. law enforcement, to enforce the discipline. Explain that for our listeners.
Without the proper parenting of children, and specifically a father figure, mama can't do it by herself. She can't. There are some women out there who are doing a fantastic job as single moms. I am not putting them down. I am encouraging them. They're doing a fantastic job. Some of them have that heart and that mindset, and it takes four times as much work to be a single mom as it would be in a regular relationship with a husband and a father. And sometimes through no fault of their own, the man has died or has moved on or left his abandoned his family. But back to what you were saying, in society, when there's the breakdown in the home and it spills over into the rest of the world, the police officers get called for situations that could have been taken care of had there been a father figure in the home. Right. I had a mother call the police because her 12-year-old son, single mom, 12-year-old son was rebellious and wouldn't come in and take a bath. She called the police. I've never even heard of such a thing. I remember when I rolled up into the additional on the screen, and I was like, this has got to be a joke because this is nuts. I remember rolling into the subdivision off of St. Augustine Road in Mandarin, and as I came around the corner, there were two boys walking down the sidewalk. And the look on one of the young men's face was, uh-oh, she did call the police. I saw it. I saw a look on his face. The other fellow decided to go home, all right? But the one I was looking at, he didn't come inside. When I got to the front door, he realized, oh, he is at my house. And mama came to the door and explained the situation. There's not a dad in the home. She's doing the best she can. She's trying to be a good, spiritual, godly mother figure, but this one has decided he's going to be raised by the streets and not do what mama tells him to do. I said, let me see his room. That tells a lot about a person. Took me to the room. Well, he's got everything his little heart desires. He's got his own TV, his own stereo. He's got his own iPhone, his own iPad, all the electronics. And I went, wow. It wasn't a lack of money, okay? It wasn't a lack of money. And he had written in permanent marker on the wood of the bunk bed there the lyrics to some of the Lil Wayne songs, okay? One of the thug rap artists, a lot of cuss words and really a lot of sexual innuendos and stuff, some just blatant sex. But I said, wow, did you know he was doing this to his own bed? She goes, no, that's brand new. And I said, well, here's what I would do, Mom. I said, number one, empty the room. She goes, what do you mean? I said, the law requires that you provide food, clothing, shelter, medical attention, and supervision, all right? That did not require you give him everything his heart desires, because giving him everything he wants, especially you know, in a situation where you don't think you've spent enough time with him, you wind up giving him more than he actually should have, he has come to disrespect you. He's spoiled. He's a spoiled, rotten brat, and he's becoming a thug, all right? Look at the words that he's writing. That's what's in his mind right now. That's what is coming into his indoctrination. So she goes, well, what do you mean get rid of it or get it out? I said, well, donate it to the church. Give it to somebody else. If it's something you think you need to keep for the future, put it in the attic, put it in storage. As he does well and obeys, you can reward him. I said, but a pillow and a blanket would be benevolent at this point. I said, he doesn't have to have a posh three meals a day. We can start off with, I don't know, bread and water. We work up the toast, we work up the jelly, work up the peanut butter. You see what I'm saying? As he obeys and respects you, you can give him more. But when he is rebellious, you have to take it away and give him less, so long as you meet the requirements of the law. Now, he snuck into the house. Now, he's behind me in the hallway listening. And I said, and by the way, Mom, you have permission to discipline him. You can't beat him up. You can't leave marks. I'm sure Mom wasn't going to do anything like that. I said, but if you need to discipline him with corporal punishment right now, I'll stand and watch for guidance.
It goes back to Glenn in Proverbs 13:24. When you said that, that came to mind. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. That means many times.
Yeah. I'm not saying you should beat children. I don't want anybody to get me wrong. But if you do not discipline them, and it's different for every kid. When Katie was little, our middle child, you could look at her and she would start crying. If she thought that you had disapproved of something or if you were angry with her, she'd start crying. You could give her an instruction in a firm voice and she said, "Your dad, you're yelling at me." I'm not yelling. I'm just giving you a very firm direction. Now, the youngest one we've got, oh boy. Okay. Corporal punishment was not working, but you took away the baby doll and that was the end of the world. You take away an electronic device or a privilege and that's the end of the world. You understand? That's her attention. You have to find out which way the child is bent.
That's right. Train up a child the way she's going. It goes back to, Glenn, what you're saying is a godly father disciplines his children. It is very, very clear that that's a responsibility and that is called on in the scripture for a godly father. In fact, with the godly father, and you touched on it, not to beat, et cetera, but it goes back to the father is responsibility, according to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, to train that child, but not to be so dogmatic that it exacerbates the problem and causes that child to be discouraged. That's a fine line that a father has to walk. Talk about that.
Jesus spoke the children to wrath. Basically, we're supposed to lead by example. We're supposed to discipline in love. The correction, it's interesting. I had a guy years ago, a security guard. He saw me in uniform. He goes, I got a question because I was sharing Jesus with him. He goes, how can a policeman be a Christian? And I went, wow, that's a very interesting question. I've never heard that one before. I said, well, it's just like this. Love is grace, mercy, and correction. A father should understand that. Mothers and fathers should understand that, because the idea is we give grace. That means we give our children things they don't deserve, things they don't earn because we love them. We give them mercy. Mercy, that means a warning. Okay, correction is coming if you don't turn, if you don't repent from what you're doing wrong. Okay, correction's coming. This is mercy. And at some point, there becomes correction or the justice portion, where the grace giving things they didn't earn and the mercy of warning them that correction's coming, and then correction must fall in order to bring them back to grace. And it's for their own protection. It's for the protection of society. If we let everybody do whatever they want, there's going to be mass carnage that can be on the streets or in the home if you let them do whatever they want. It just gets worse. And he looked at me. He went, wow. I said, and by the way, that is the definition of love. Love is not just, I'll let you do whatever you want. It's not just, oh, my goodness, ooey-gooey love. I just can't do enough for this person, or she can't, or he can't do enough for me and for our children to let them have whatever they want. It has to be the grace, the mercy, and the correction, or you don't love that person.
Mm-hmm, that's right. Where there's no discipline, there's an indication. In fact, as it says in the Proverbs text that I just read, Proverbs 23:24, if the father does not discipline, the Bible says he hates that child. That is very, very clear. Glenn, one other thought before I let you go. A godly father will also continually be aware that his sons and daughters are watching him and will walk in his footsteps. Speak to that, of the need for fathers to realize that they're setting the example. Just as the Apostle Paul in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians says, mimic me as I, he says, follow me. The word follow means mimic. Mimic me as I mimic the Lord Jesus. Identify that. Speak to that.
I'll try to be brief if I can. it's difficult. I've got an acquaintance that over the years has tried to tell me that he's okay with drinking alcoholic beverages. That's the one thing that the Bible doesn't say you can't. It just says if you do, you're going to have all these problems. And by the way, your children will do to excess whatever you do in moderation.
Your phone is breaking up, Glenn.
I'm sorry. I said your children will do to excess whatever you accept in moderation. And if you are okay with drinking alcoholic beverages, like I said, the Bible doesn't say you can't. It just says if you do, there's all these problems listed in Proverbs. So over the years, his children, he's got three boys, his children are having issues with drugs. Well, it was okay for dad to do this, so it might be okay for us to do that. Okay, we're not even talking about them drinking because he's already allowed them to have, you know, alcoholic beverages. So they take the next step out. So I spoke with him not too long ago, and he was telling me that he was going to have to get them drug tested and doing this and doing that, and they're having issues. And I went, well, they're following what their dad's example is, all right? And they're going to follow in your footsteps. They might be hard-working individuals because this is a hard-working individual, but you have created an Achilles heel for them because they're walking in dad's footsteps, mm-hmm. All right? That's a failure in progress unless there's some correction. The children are watching what we do.
One final thought, Glenn, and then I'll let you and Dr. Davis kind of wrap up the thoughts today. But a child, for a godly father, that godly father must love mom, must love his wife. That is an example for that child to see, to love his future wife.
Amen.
Talk about that being so vital today, and then Pastor Davis will have a comment.
The men, the young men, watch how mama's being treated, mm-hmm. And that's how they're going to treat women.
Right.
The daughters are watching how mama treats the wife. And eventually, they will seek a man that treats them the same way,
mm-hmm.
And for good or for evil.
That's right.
And so you've got women that are – it's horrible. Dad, I've seen some really horrible stuff in relationships where a woman was being beat, just beat. When we finally caught up to them, all right, because they would run away before the police got to the apartment, and all the neighbors were like, she was screaming bloody murder. Anyway, we caught up to her. She had down the street, they were at a payphone when we had payphones, and she had her collar pulled up, her hat pulled down. She was black and blue. It was a privilege to arrest her boyfriend slash husband, whatever he was. It was a privilege. And I had to go to the state attorney's office, and they said, what do you think about the case? And I said, if you don't file another case right now for domestic violence, file this one because he's going to kill her. And the reason was she said she deserved it.
Mm-hmm. Glenn, our time is up, but I'm going to let you speak to our audience very quickly. We've got about 8 seconds and wrap up on what we need to think about on Father's Day.
Pastor Davis, is it your turn?
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, thank you for this time again, or, you know, for being able to discuss you know, and get some very important information over to godly fathers on today. In the words of the great Dr. Billy Graham, I believe I heard spoken one time, the world has yet to see what God can do through the life of a man whose life has been totally submitted.